than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and watching us on YouTube. Joining me, as always, in the very pollen-filled mobile studio. Josh, what's going on, man?
Pollen-filled, man. Good, man. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Your allergies are okay? Mine are going nuts.
I'm Claritin clear.
Claritin makes me fall asleep no matter what.
Yeah. It's one of those like Benadryl things where you just
I'm just out.
You're just out for the count.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. The NFL draft was this past weekend. A lot of picks. Obviously, we're going to talk about it, but a lot going on in Baltimore this past week.
As we know,
we've had curfews and riots, and
it's not because we won a championship, by the way.
No,
try to keep it light around here, but yeah, it's. We all know there's nothing really to be said about it. I'm glad everybody's safe.
Yeah.
I know everybody I know is okay. I did know some officers down there. I had a chance to talk with them yesterday about the chaos that ensued, what's going on moving forward. But the reason why we want to definitely bring this up is and I knew he was going to touch on it, but how about the passionate video that Ray Lewis put out?
That was pretty amazing to see.
I've never seen him fired up like that.
You know,
that was something.
It was definitely something, and I kind of feel as if it's something that Baltimore needed. So, you know, you needed somebody like Ray Lewis to kind of wake everybody up, the citizens, the government, everything, because Ray Lewis has been such a staple in Baltimore, and also with the fact that, you know, he had his own run-ins with the law, and the fact that the city stayed behind him, he obviously is showing support for a city that's kind of kind of being torn down by its own people right now.
Right. It's just something to see. You know, I joked, and I never want this to happen, but I did joke. I said, at least this is during football season, right? Because
right.
I want my, you know, season tickets interrupted. But, you know, with that being said, with all the businesses interrupted and even the O's game, that was a little weird. I mean, what they were going to do with that in the homestand, and they played a game without any fans. And I'm sure, I don't know if you got a chance to saw it. Did you see the spoof on Saturday Night Live?
I did,
That was pretty hilarious.
Hilarious, and everyone on Facebook has shared it.
That I think so, because I've shared it at least like 50 times.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it was out there. I didn't even know, obviously, being Saturday night. And I'm one to watch Saturday Night Live if I'm home.
Yeah.
But obviously, what took stage this weekend was the big Mayweather fight, Pacquiao fight. So I was watching that.
Well, you see, I was home because of the curfew. I couldn't leave my house after 10. So I watched that SNL skit live. Seriously, when I saw it and I said, this is going to be all over Facebook tomorrow.
Everyone's going
to figure it out by like noon tomorrow.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So it was another, again, twist to lighten the mood a little bit, to shed some light on that. And and not only with Ray Lewis's video, but how about the Ravens and the community? Not only Ray came back to town, and speaking of Ray bit, how about this and ESPN allowing him to skip his assignment in the NFL draft to come to Baltimore because he said, my city.
Yeah.
He said, forever this will be my city, and those words are true. You know, who thought that, okay, he retired, his statue unveiled, and we thought we'd never see him again? No, he cares about this community, this city. This is his adopted city for the last 20 years.
You know, North Avenue is Ray Lewis Way. There's a sign on North Avenue with his name on it.
Was that the road?
That's
the street?
Yeah,
I wasn't
absolutely.
Sure what that was. I remember that unveiling.
North Avenue is Ray Lewis Way. He's been in that community before. He's helped out, you know, at like Thanksgiving time. He's a part of that community. He's done things to be a part of it. It was good to see him release that video. It was better to see him come back with the Ravens and stay here and not cover the draft, because obviously to him, this is more important than what's going on in the NFL draft, to come back to the city that accepted him after he screwed up, that he's been a part of for so long. He knows he's a huge part of it. And to see him go to schools and talk to kids about the way to act in public and what's been going on and how how's the proper way to handle things, I think is great for him to do. I think it'll make a huge impact at the places that he got to talk to. I remember, I mean, he was even bringing up stuff like pull your pants up, you know.
I remember that the speech.
Yeah,
when
yeah
he
at
was
that
in
high
the
school.
Family. Yeah,
yeah.
And it just goes to show volumes of all the naysayers out there that, you know, they always bring up, oh, he's a murderer. But, like, really? I mean, and I'm not here to preach to those kind of people. They're always going to hate no matter what,
yeah.
And they just don't understand. But if you look at that, Ray Lewis never had that father figure, and that's mm-hmm. where his trouble started, and he cleaned his act up. And that was the difference in the whole scenario was, you know, Ray Lewis can go up or down.
Right.
And back in that 2000, when it happened in the 2000 season, he thought to bring his life together, and he ended with a Super Bowl MVP and the championship with the team. So we all know that story. But it was great to see, you know, John Harbaugh out there, even Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
How about that? Our two Super Bowl MVPs out there in the community. Jimmy Smith, he had the police hat on. He was having mm-hmm. a ball. And there was amongst, I think Marlon Brown was out there,
Marlon
if I'm not mistaken.
Dennis Pitta was there.
Dennis Pitta was even there.
Yeah.
I know he's going through rehab trying to get back on the field for this year. And it was great to see Dennis Pitta out there. And I did hear from the community that Ravens fans saw Dennis Pitta and Joe Flacco having lunch at some mm-hmm. locations. So we see these guys in the community, and yes, they're only people at the end of the day. You know, they're just like you and me. They breathe the same air, they eat the same food. But, you know, these guys are held esteemed in the community because we look up to them, especially
yeah.
a lot of the underprivileged youth that don't have any parents who, you know, they need someone to look up to. And especially not only that, but how about the team bringing the community together? You know, remember what it was like last year with the O's playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what it was like during the Super Bowl run. Right? It's just like if you're wearing our jersey and we're standing next to you, you were told to strangers. But you're my brother. It's
yeah.
just like you're jumping up and down, you're high-fiving, you're grabbing each other's jersey, you're hugging people, you're high-fiving people you never knew. It's one big family. And I think Baltimore's going to rise from this.
Yeah,
I've said
yeah,
this. I'm not comparing to what happened in Boston by any chance. Totally two separate related incidents. Yes, they're both tragic and horrible. But here's the reality. And I've even said this, and this is a later thing. What if the Orioles could win the World Series? What if the Ravens could make a deep run? Ravens have two titles. The Orioles haven't won since '83. But remember, Boston, you know, and I sat there, and I can even phone my friend now and get him on live on the phone here. When Boston went through what they went through,
mm-hmm.
and when the Red Sox had that first home game and they wore Boston on the front of the jersey, that's why everybody's encouraging. They want Baltimore to wear their jerseys. I looked at my buddy and said, the Red Sox are going to win the World Series. I hate to say it, but they are. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what would be the ultimate cap in Baltimore rising, not only rebuilding the community, I should say, but how about one of or even both of our teams here in Baltimore as we back the Birds, and how about them just surge up and make us forget about all the tragedy, make us, you know, come together as one community. And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And that's why we do what we do. We love our team. We're passionate about our community, our cities, and our fans out there love it. And we put our opinions out there where we need to be. And I really think with all said and done, it was just really great to see the Ravens helping out the community, especially, 2 days before the draft? This
yeah.
happened on Tuesday,
yeah.
The day after the chaos ensued. And 2 days before the draft, and that was just really something to see. I mean, they're preparing for one of the biggest weeks in their history's future, because it is the Ravens' future. It's the
mm-hmm.
future draft picks. It's the future of our franchise. And they're out there, no, we're helping our community, and that
yeah.
speaks volumes.
And it's not just that they went out and they cleaned
right.
up, you know, some of the mess that was made. It's not just that they brought food to a school or whatever, but it's specifically things that they said that I remember. You know, we already talked about the thing that Ray Lewis was talking about, the way to act in public.
Right, it's about behavior, caring yourself.
But Harbaugh talked to one of the high school football teams, and Harbaugh was talking to the coaches, and he said, this is your responsibility. You guys are in charge of this neighborhood. When things get bad, when things do this, do that, who do people turn to? They turn to the football team to rise them above the, you know, what's going on right now, to have you're the ones that kind of take the pain away sometimes.
And what was it that you said about when you shared your story, and when I did too, about with the connection with your family.
Mm-hmm.
It was about that focus, turning the focus away.
Yeah.
And that's why you do the cause what you do. And it's about taking that. That's what I was talking about earlier. You hit it right on the head. Taking the focus away from what's going on and really honing in and bringing the community together. Why do we keep saying community? I cannot get that word. Community. Community.
Community.
Right. But yeah, community, and there's unity in the community, and that's what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully in the next couple weeks, Baltimore can kind of rise above what's been going on. Hopefully there's a change in the community.
We need to be more, Baltimore. Be
yeah.
more. That's what it's on. Bring the charm back to Charm City. We're not known for this. No. And I definitely wanted to start off with those opinions. I mean, obviously, we're not a political show by any stance, and I'm not going to get involved in the politics of things. But, you know, what happened is tragic. I know you're within the city limits. I'm sure that curfew sucked.
Sure.
I mean, we're America. We're the land of the free, home of the brave, and I'm sure it sucks to be told that you can't go after 10 o'clock. So it's kind of a harsh reality, and we definitely don't want that to be brought to our communities ever again, and not only here but abroad. Yeah. And I just don't want to focus on our city, of course, but any other city out there, do not want to see this happen ever again in America. This is uncalled for.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see what happens in the next couple weeks, but Baltimore has definitely never been here. Hasn't been like this in a very long time. It's very split, but hopefully the community, the government, the police officers, everybody can come together. I think just with what's going on with this case, just kind of realize that there were screw-ups by certain people. There were things that should have been done differently, but it's the what happens now of what changes. You know, as long as people don't make the same mistakes.
It's like the Ravens sayings. Win. What's important now?
Right.
It's the team. John Ball always preaches the team, the team, the team. It's about that. It's about, like, it almost brings tears in my eyes to really see the joy. How about some people helping other businesses clean up?
Yeah.
How about some people just starting to sweep off the trash off the thing? I've actually tried to figure out how I can get down there to help out myself, to volunteer about how to clean up. It's about lending that hand. And if you think about what the Ravens are about and showing the example, it's about being the example. You always hear, oh, these guys don't care about the people. They make their millions and they go in their big houses and they go on vacations. No, they're here. They're in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really great to see, man.
It's really great to see. It really is. So with that, let's start talking about the draft, talking about some new Ravens kind of being welcomed into
Absolutely.
The family.
Absolutely. We got some family members to welcome.
That's right. I'm going old school again.
You always love that paper. See, I got the digital paper.
Yeah. I'm going old school like this. But let's start off with round one, number 26. First off, were you shocked that the Ravens stayed at number 26? Because there was a part of me that thought that they were going to move up.
Well, they did. They just did it a round later.
Right.
But
yeah, I thought with so many picks, they were going to trade up in round one and get somebody a little bit higher.
What I've been hearing is they were disappointed because all their players started flying off the board.
Right.
So when I saw that, I was following the Ravens' Twitter and some of their staff very closely and some of the media members that were very close to the Ravens in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, watch them trade out because all their players are going. They'll trade out and get more picks and trade back and fall back. But with that being said, they did draft at number 26, and they went offense to give a new breath of fresh air for Joe Flacco in the offense,
mm-hmm.
and they got a top-tier receiver. And we all know Mel Kiper is a Baltimore local native here, and he's the draft guru. He covers the team. He's very passionate about that. He actually had this receiver as the 14th best player in the whole draft.
Okay.
And he was there at 26. So,
yeah.
So everybody was – I'd seen some mixed reactions. Everybody was very – loved the pick, and everybody was like, really? Because there was a solid Landon Collins from Alabama, you know, Alabama ties with Ozzy. He was there. I thought they were going to go corner or safety. I kind of thought wide receiver. Everybody was texting me right before it happened. They asked me what my opinion was. I said – I actually said receiver or corner. They were going to go either or, and they went to the wide receiver.
Went to the wide receiver, and they brought up Brashad Perryman.
Yep.
He, again, like we said, number 26 in the draft. And he was somebody, like you said, could be picked at number 14, but kind of dropped a little bit. I'll read this off. He's big, 218 pounds. He's fast, 4.3 speed.
That's 4.2.
Okay, 4.2.
If you take the average, it's 4.3.
Okay.
Not that I'm correcting, but I've been hearing, his average speed was 4. If you take all his average, but he's 4.2, it's blazing.
Looking at the highlights, looking at his highlights, he definitely reminds me of Torrey Smith. He can definitely stretch the field out. He's definitely got some
wheels. And he's got the old school braids.
Yeah, he got the old school braids, that's true. But the one worry that I keep reading about and that everybody's talking about is his hands. That he is having problems, that he has a tough time catching the ball, holding on to the ball. Which is something Torrey Smith, his rookie year, had problems with.
Torrey did too, you're right.
And Jacoby Jones, before he became a Raven, that was his big problem.
Or how about Michael Crabtree, who's a 6-year NFL veteran, but everybody wanted him here.
Yeah.
And including me. I wanted Crabtree here too. So, and Crabtree's downfall was hands.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I want to shout out to all the haters up there too as well. They're all blowing this guy up. Oh, he can't catch. He ain't played a snap in the NFL. This is college. NFL's different. Joe Flacco's throwing the ball. Joe Flacco's a Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback who's proven in the league. He's the one of the most accurate passers out there. He can throw the deep ball. He's very good at what he does.
Right.
When Joe's throwing to him, watch out. And I've always said this, Brandon. You can coach catching. You can coach these fundamentals, but you can't coach athleticism and you can't coach raw speed, and he has that.
He does. Absolutely.
You can't coach that.
Looking at those highlights, though, where I heard a lot of people saying, like, he drops this, he drops that. Looking at the quarterbacks that he has worked with in the past, the quarterbacks remind me a lot of Joe Flacco. So I think that is some of the appeal that Ozzie and the rest of the Ravens kind of had with this guy, the fact that Joe could work with him and teach him, you know, the way that Joe kind of does stuff. This guy, like we said, he's a big guy. Joe's a tall guy. So a lot of those passes I saw in this guy's highlight reel was him reaching over his head, jumping up in the air and being able
like
to
making,
catch the ball.
Going up and making plays.
Going up and making plays. And with Joe being such a tall guy and being the way that Joe throws, because we've seen Joe throw the long ball, a lot of the receivers do have to kind of reach out. They do have to catch above their heads. And it looked like this guy had the skill to be able to do that. And I think it might be a little rough starting out because he's going to get used to the NFL level. But over time, I think him and Joe will have a good working relationship.
I think so. And again, that's why I can't wait to see about mini camps and about training camps as well mm-hmm. as a preseason, because you get to see these guys shine. And I want to share a quote from a Hall of Fame receiver himself, Michael Irvin, said this about Breshad Perriman. This is Michael Irvin, quote, "The speed this kid has is incredible. He can absolutely fly. Perriman reminds me a lot of Andre Johnson. When you start talking about money downs, no player makes more plays on third and fourth downs than Perriman." This is Michael Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, he's a playmaker with proven ability, 14th best player according to Mel Kiper on the board, and we got him at 26. A great addition to the receiving corps, especially when if you look at a receiving corps, no disrespect whatsoever to Steve Smith, but when you look at Steve Smith and Marlon Browners are 1-2,
right.
Something's got to give.
Well, Steve Smith, he is an older guy. That's always been his
he's
thing.
He's a possession receiver.
Yeah.
We need that down the
we
field
need to
go
stretch
to
the
guy.
Field,
exactly.
Yeah.
We need to keep defensive honest, so maybe it does clear up from some space. Steve Smith comes across the middle mm-hmm. and especially our tight ends and catch those passes. It's all about that fundamentals of football.
And with this guy being you know right out of college, risky with he could drop the whatever. He's got Joe Flacco and he's got Steve Smith being able to teach him. I think that is a great pairing to learn, you know, for this guy. So I think I want to say the first half of this his first season could be a little rough. There's potential
yep.
of it being rough.
Oh yeah.
But I feel as if the Ravens can teach this guy, you know, what they did with Torrey Smith. Look at how much he made this year going to the 49ers. Obviously the Ravens can take a guy who is coming out of college with some potential, some chance, you know, whether or not they'll catch him or not, and being able to build him and build him up into being one of the biggest wide receivers. So the Ravens lost Torrey Smith. I think they had their eye on this guy in the first place anyway, because they're comparing this guy already to Torrey Smith.
And they had to have, especially drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew they were down there on the board. I don't think this was the Ravens' first choice.
Yeah.
And obviously, be right so, because I've heard that they said their board got virtually white clean in the first round. So they had some players that were up high, and I knew some players that I was targeting myself personally for the team, and I had written down, and I'm like, ooh, they went 12th overall, 15th overall. I'm like, they're already a top 20 pick, and the Ravens are 26. I'm like, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they did rightfully so in the first round. Great, great pick. I think it's a solid pick. Again, not ready to set the world on fire right now, but it does help our cause.
Definitely got potential. Now let's go on to round two. A guy I'm excited. I saw this pick up. I'm excited. A lot of Ravens fans also excited. Number 55, Max with two X's.
Max.
Not triple X.
Max.
Williams.
It could be
from
the
Minnesota.
X factor.
Yeah.
X factor. And how about this? It's intriguing because this is the time the Ravens did move up three spots. And I heard the biggest reason, well, not the biggest reason why, but they moved ahead of the Steelers, which were eyeing him up.
Yeah.
And several media outlets denied this, but I did find some sources right here as well that there are viable media sources in Pittsburgh saying that they had a whole thick book on this guy. They were ready to draft him because, of course, Heath Miller and the Steelers is getting older,
mm-hmm.
and they were looking for a replacement. And what a pick. This is the number one tight end in the draft, and we found him at number 55, and we jumped up to get him to keep him away from the Steelers. And mark my words, we play the Steelers on Thursday Night Football. I think Max is going to light up and have a great
man.
Game, and he's going to be the MVP of that game and beat the Steelers.
Well, like, the Steelers were at number 56. So to get
we
him
were 58.
At 55.
We were right ahead of him. And we were at 58. We traded back, I think it was with the Cardinals, I believe.
Yeah.
Cardinals.
And supposedly the Cardinals, their head coach was interviewed in Pittsburgh to take over certain coaching positions. So when the Ravens were like, hey, we want to get ahead of the Steelers for this, the coach was like, yeah, let him have him, you know? Kind of a little extra, you know, knife to the
gut.
And
we do play the Cardinals this year on Monday Night Football. That's so true. We might be beating them on that night, but we do owe them a little thank you for that, and thank you for the trade. And welcome to Baltimore, Mr. Max Williams. And what a great pick. I've seen some of his highlights. The dude's a monster.
He's huge.
Did you see that one I don't know who it was against, but the highlight where he caught the ball on the left side of the field and he hurdled that guy on his way to the end zone?
Uh-huh.
That's some highlights, and that's playing
absolutely
like a Raven right there.
And the coolest thing about this guy that I really like is the fact that he's a big guy.
6'4", 250.
He's a tight end, but he's also kind of defensive. So the fact he can catch the ball and then
pass blocker.
Yeah.
Run blocker.
Absolutely.
Like, get put him back in coverages.
Mm-hmm.
And he reminds me of Todd Heap used to do that a lot. Todd Heap was big like that, to where he would just start blocking.
Right.
And I think that would go great for us, especially with the uncertainty of Dennis Pitta. This bodes a great replacement. This is a solid pick. I'm tickled to death with this one.
Well, that's my next question to you. With this pickup at tight end, can we assume that Dennis Pitta will not be a part of this team in a physical way?
No chance. And the reason why I say it's too early to say that, because they're still trying to work on his hip. He's
mm-hmm.
still trying to go to rehab. He can still be a part, especially if Pitta's at 75-80%, Max
right.
Williams is 100, we can do two tight end sets. Even if not, Pitta could always be a third down situational guy, or at least get him in early in the games and then let Max close the games.
True.
I'm fine with this, and especially because I know we'll cover later in the draft, but we drafted another one later in the draft,
mm-hmm.
and we already have Crockett Gilmore, who caught the one touchdown against Pittsburgh in the playoffs. So, again, we have good four solid tight ends right now, Dennis Pitta included. I think this just bodes well. It's a great insurance policy against Pitta.
Depth, big time.
And it's definitely a breath of fresh air in case Pitta, because, of course, with Pitta's injury, we just don't know.
Yeah, I like this guy. I mean, nothing against Pitta. I hope he comes back. I hope he can play. But I really want to see what this Max Williams guy does, because I'm excited. This guy looks, sounds, you know how they say, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck?
Yes, sir.
If you look like a Raven and call like a Raven, you should be a Raven.
You should be a Raven. And there's a couple players away that we're going to get to. And this guy looks like a Raven. He's a freak. We'll talk about him. He's one of my favorite picks of this draft. But not only that, but remember Suggs' favorite quote from Pitta, or about Pitta? The white tight end, you can't leave home without him.
Right.
I think this bodes well for Max Williams, because this guy's going to be a great security blanket for Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And I actually heard Joe Flacco was interviewed after these two picks, and he was fired up.
Yeah,
he's ready to go.
Given Joe plenty of weapons here. You know, they brought Steve Smith in last year. Owen Daniels was working really good with Joe, but with these young guys, people that he is definitely a hands-on quarterback. He will go to the mini camps. He will be a part of these rookies coming in.
And that shows a great leader too.
Yeah.
You got to be. You can't just, I'm high and mighty, I got this. No, you need to practice. You need to get out there and get these guys reps. And I know he's already asked, going, how early can we meet up with these guys? So he's definitely willing to put in the work.
And Max Williams, ESPN, one of their writers, is already saying that he has potential of being the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. So there's definitely a spotlight on this guy to make some waves. So
yeah, I've heard great things about him, and becoming from the Big Ten, obviously the Maryland moved there as a school, so we all know about the Big Ten, and he just comes from a great conference of football up there in Minnesota. So I really can't wait to see what he brings to the Ravens.
Yeah. Round 3 at number 90, the Ravens picked up Carl Davis, and this was called the Rich Getting Richer and Vintage Ravens pick.
Vintage Ravens pick, and another Minnesota guy.
Another Minnesota guy, but here, listen to this. So, during the conference call with Carl Davis, he was called the angriest player of the draft because supposedly he was supposed to get drafted at the beginning of the second round,
mm-hmm.
and he dropped down to number 90. So he's told the media, I've got a chip on my shoulder. I got something to prove.
Sounds like a Steve Smith kind of guy.
Again, if it looks like a Raven and sounds like a Raven.
It's a Raven. It must be a Raven.
You come to this team with a chip on your shoulder. You come to this team with something to prove. The Ravens go, prove it. And this guy wants to prove it. This guy could take over for Haloti Ngata with the big loss of Haloti Ngata there going to Detroit. He's cheaper than Haloti Ngata, so it's good on the business end. But for this guy to show up and for this guy to take his place, a lot of people are saying it's a great pickup by the Ravens. There's definitely potential there, and he's angry, which I love to hear when you get a Ravens.
I love that. When I heard about it, I saw his stats. I mean, I got his height. He's 6'4", 270. No, he's 6'5", 320. He's a big dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he's big. And you're right, because we lost Nada, we lost McPhee. We need some reinforcements up on the line. And he just brings great, great attitude to the Ravens. I've seen some of his – I've actually seen highlights of every pick on film, and he definitely is a formidable force down there, and I really can't wait to see what he brings to the table. Potential starter ability here, and he's actually with a chip on his shoulder. Steve Smith came with that mentality, and he had a great productive year last year. Mm-hmm. And a lot of ex-Ravens have done that. They come in here, and they're just mad. They're just mad at the world, and they go, look. And the Ravens are always like that because we're the bad guys.
Yeah.
Suggs always says that. We're the bad guys. Everybody points to us and says, we're the bad guys. And rightfully so, because everybody loves, for some reason, they love to hate the Ravens. It's, mm-hmm. oh, my God. And it's just kind of like, yeah, let's just get going and show the world that, especially in media, it's all they won't go anywhere. And then, oh, we're in the divisional round again in the playoffs, and we just beat the Steelers. It happened last year, and we almost took it to the eventual champion Patriots. And I think with these weapons, we would have gotten there, but we're coming for the AFC. And I think we're just adding and adding mm-hmm. to the reinforcements. And so far in the draft, we're meeting team needs.
Absolutely.
This is how the Ravens go, Brandon. It's players exit. We just plug them in. Mm-hmm. And I love how, and I spoke about this on Sunday for a few friends of mine. It's the Ravens draft Pro Bowlers and future Hall of Famers everywhere. We drafted a Ben Grubbs, Pro Bowler. Look what happened. He got paid down in New Orleans, let the other teams pay him.
Right.
They give us the good years. What's time to pay up? Ed Hartwell left and go to Atlanta? Nothing. Adalys Thomas? Nothing. Jim Leonard up in Bart Scott up in the Jets, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that these guys aren't productive on the field at all once they leave here. I'm not discounting their talent and play.
Right.
But it just seems like that they give us great years, and then what happens is they go time to pay, and it's, okay, we just replace you with someone bigger, better, and fresher.
Right.
And it's just, and that's how we stay consistent, because we look at these guys in the draft and go, Nada goes out. Enter Carl Davis, enter whoever we plug in there, and it's just great, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to – there's two other guys we can talk about, but I want to jump ahead because you brought this up. Down to round four at number 136, Trey Walker came in. He's a corner. Why did it take so long for the Ravens to get a corner in this draft? Because obviously last year, I mean, it was like a revolving door. You know, somebody would come in, get hurt. Somebody else would come in, get hurt. Somebody else would – With Jimmy Smith, Lardarius Webb both having their health issues this past year, why did it take so long down to round four at 136? What happened there?
I was actually very shocked about that too, because if you look, obviously we'll jump back up and we missed some two picks there.
Yeah.
We'll jump back up.
Yeah.
We'll have it all covered.
Absolutely.
That was a great question. And my honest opinion is I think that most of the best corners were gone at that point.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the board, like they said, their board got wiped clean. I think one or two corners got taken in the first round or two, and the Ravens are like, okay, let's be patient and wait. And when I look at Trey Walker, just some of his stats here, I mean, he's 6'2", 180. I think he's a good corner. He's got good physical. He just needs more sort of a run. I know in the past he was solid, but I think it just took him long here because of the way the draft ebb and flowed. It was kind of
– right.
This was like plan F or G, like way down the list, like, okay, what do we do now? But they had to use one of their picks to get a corner, and they did get a solid one here. What I've been reading about Trey Walker, he's solid in the back, and I think it just provides reinforcement, especially Jimmy Smith coming back healthy, needs to stay there, Webb.
Yeah.
I think we need to just be mindful of our depth in the corners. I think that's still our weak spot in the team. I'm not saying our team's 100% put together right now, but I think the corners are a little bit shaky there, because if one injury, it's going to be boom or bust again.
That's what really hurt us in the postseason last year, those corners just
– because right now the way the NFL is – I don't care how bad their line is, no one can touch quarterbacks these days. Especially with how, I know Peyton Manning's going to downsize his career, but how quick Peyton get balls out. I'm trying to think about it. There was a game, Andy Dalton did it to us. Andy Dalton did it to us where we were blitzing him, but we couldn't touch him because they were designing plays to get the ball out. It was quick strike offenses.
Right.
And I think what happens there is the NFL is bigger, better, faster, and with these quarterbacks being as smart, it is about putting pressure on the quarterback. It's not about sacks. Sacks are numbers. I know sacks are great. You get to stop them. You get the down. You get the yards lost. But when you pressure a quarterback, it throws rhythm off, timing off, and it gets him off his rhythm there. So I think with that, I think we need to go be mindful of that and go to the secondary. I know we bolstered our line, but it's like a give and take.
Yeah.
You know, with anything, you know, we bolster our defensive line, but we let the secondary slack a little bit. I like to see more. I like to see another corner pick in this draft, but I can't complain for how it's been out so far.
And there have been some undrafted guys that we could see come out of nowhere, kind of like with Marlon Brown, what he did. He went undrafted. So there's potential of more people coming in. But round four, I was definitely surprised. That's the first time we saw a corner coming in. But this guy seems to be a pretty good pickup, but we'll see. Time will tell on that guy. So back up round four, we had two other picks at number 122,
right.
Za'Darius Smith.
This is my favorite
pick. This is your favorite
guy.
Tell me why is that?
Well, let me pull some up here, and I'll share the whole world Za'Darius, because this guy just look. Someone tweeted said this guy just looks like a Raven.
Okay.
Does that not look like a Raven to you?
That's a pretty Raven-esque guy.
Let me put. If I can see that, that guy just looks mean.
Yeah.
Za'Darius Smith, remember this, because he's going to be after some quarterbacks this year, let alone Big Ben. Out of Kentucky, but this guy's just, he's just a beast. And here's another one. Just look at that guy. Like, it's just, it's what the world to see. Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
This is going to be good for us. And he's 6'4", 274. He was actually named Most Valuable Player in the Shrine Game, believe it or not. He's an edge setter. He's an outside linebacker with defensive line mentality. So we can always put him on the end. Imagine him, Suggs, and Dumervil all wrecking havoc.
Oosh.
I'm telling you, this guy's got a motor, and he just looks mean and nasty. And he just this is going to be my favorite pick right now so far.
Okay.
I really can't wait to get after it. Za'Darius Smith. I was happy when I got this guy.
All right.
When we got this guy. I really, really am impressed with the Ravens so far.
Very cool, man. I don't really know a lot about him, but you're definitely excited for him, so I can't wait to see what this guy does. Round four at number 125, running back Buck Allen. A lot of people saying this was a steal for the Ravens. It's obvious
I like his first name, Javorius. Sounds like he could have been like in the Gladiator days. My name is Javorius. Got Za'Darius and Javorius back-to-back. Some cool names,
that's
man.
Pretty good, yeah.
Javorius. I just love that name.
Yeah.
Javorius.
So obviously we know Justin Forsett is our main dude for this season and for the next couple seasons. But this pickup at the running back position, obviously he's got with Bernard Pierce being let go. There are some gaps there. So this definitely adds some depth to the running back position.
Yes, it does. And especially with Taliaferro still there on our
Who I was impressed with last year.
I was still, too.
Yeah.
I don't know still. The jury's out. I don't know if he's a solid number two from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Last year,
he had, peaks and valleys of where I was impressed, and other times where I was like, he's still got some of that rookie feelness on him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with Allen rushing for near 1,500 yards, and he had 11 touchdowns last year for the USC Trojans, solid year for running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's versatile. If I just pull up his stats here, he's actually with Mark Trestman in the offense. He's actually compared to what Matt Forte's play style is. Is he's a good receiving back, but he's also that bruising back who's just runs.
Yeah.
And I think with him, I think he'll be a start on this team. He'll probably be number two right behind Forsett. And I think with Forsett and Allen, what a great addition! I'm really excited to see this back run. And a USC Trojan, these guys play football.
Yeah,
they come from a prestigious program, great school, and Reggie Bush of USC fame, and he's a high profile guy out there, and he's been suspect coming out of there. So a lot of players, especially like with their USC players, it's almost boom or bust for those kind of players out there, because they're either praised highly and they perform. Mediocre in the NFL, or these guys are really praised and actually pretty stinking decent in the NFL. So it's just really interesting to see how Allen provides. But I was happy with the running back pick. Again, another offensive weapon, and it's just going to be well for Mark Trestman and our offense.
Obviously beefing up that offense. Now, we already talked about Trey Walker, so let's go down to round five. Number 171, Nick Boyle. He's a tight end. We already talked about it, so we don't really have to go into depth here, but I think this is just another way of saying we don't know what's going on with Dennis Pitta. This is a guy that we think could back up Max Williams.
Yes, or Crockett Gilmore, too, as well.
He's
another dealer.
Again, he's a guy who was okay, not great, not bad, just kind of middle of the road.
just catch the passes and get yards and touchdowns. I mean, Crockett Gilmore caught that pass and just took it to the end zone, mm-hmm. and it came right towards me in Pittsburgh. That was just phenomenal. As long as you can make plays for this team,
yeah.
I don't care what your name is on the back of jersey or where you came from, if you're making plays for the purple and black, that's all that matters. And this guy, I've seen some of his stats, it brings it all. Hey, he's a former Delaware Blue Hen. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't play with Flacco, but comes from the same school, so they share the same alma mater. So I'm really interested to see how that pans out. I know Flacco will be talking about that. It's great to see another addition. I know when we added Gino Krakowski and Nola Blue Hen, it didn't really pan out.
Yeah.
But it's great to see some local flavor involved and mm-hmm. See what Nick Bowler brings to the Ravens. But again, it's another insurance policy, like you said. What about Dennis Pitta? Because then there's our four tight end on the depth chart, maybe even five, whoever we have on there.
Right.
So you can't have enough, but this is, again, another good insurance policy, and they got a nice solid late in the round. And how about our last pick, my friend?
We got two more. We got two more in round five, 176, Robert Myers. He's a guard.
That's right.
Pretty much I think that was just because, like I read in this article, Marshall Yanda and Kelechi Osemele both become unrestricted free agents after this season. So this was obviously a pick in case one of those guys cannot be re-signed. So we'll see what happens at the end of the season.
Interesting with this guy, if you read his stats on his last season at Tennessee State, mm-hmm. he didn't allow a sack in the last four games.
Ooh.
Protect Joe Flacco.
So Joe might be a fan of his.
He might be a fan. But I think what Myers brings is, again, you know, that solid ability to protect your quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Solid and pass rushing ability. So he's got the hands there. And, you know, we always need that line to be bolstered because especially with run ability.
Right.
If it all starts with that. If you can't keep the quarterback upright and healthy, you know, knock on some wood around here. Thank God Joe Flacco's been healthy his whole career. But if you can't block for the running backs, you can't block for the quarterbacks, this offense falls apart. I've said this time and time again on the call, and I've said it to you. The game is won and lost in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive line and offensive line. I don't care if you have all pro receivers on both sides of football and a 7-time Super Bowl winning quarterback back there and a running back who gets you an insane amount of yards and touchdowns every year, but if you can't block for these guys,
right,
it won't matter. It won't matter at all. Peyton Manning wouldn't be the quarterback he is. Tom Brady wouldn't be if their lines could not block. Emmitt Smith wouldn't be the running back he was in his career if his line wouldn't block for him. It starts in the front.
Absolutely. So our last pick here, round six at 204, Darren Waller, wide receiver. I just see in all caps in the article I was reading, big. 6'6".
Joe Flacco's 6'5", and you've seen the picture when I sat next to him. I'm 5'5". Joe Flacco's a foot taller than me.
Right.
This guy is a beast.
So
6'6", 238 out of Georgia Tech.
That is a big dude.
And speaking of big dudes, there is a big dude that came out of Georgia Tech, and his name is Calvin Johnson. You might have heard of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Just an okay guy, right?
Once or twice.
Yeah, some guy that plays him in the Lions who's very, very good.
Yeah.
Again, beast. Great, great, great last pick. I'm tickled to death with this one.
I want to see what happens this season because I can definitely see them putting this guy. You know what we were having last season? Like the Ravens were kind of allergic to the red zone. They get there and then they would just back up.
God, man, that made me all year.
All year.
You get on
all
the 1 yard
year.
Line, can't get in. That lost them the game with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Made me so mad. I'm like, you're on the 1 yard line in the NFL and can't get in.
Yeah.
I seen 10-year-old boys play on football and get in there. You gotta be kidding me.
This will help. Him being 6'6", like you said, Joe being 6'5", they're gonna be able to see over everybody. He's gonna have the reach. Joe likes to throw it high. I like this pickup just due to the fact that Joe will be able to see him above everybody else. Justin Forsett being a tiny guy, getting into, you know, being able to squeak in, you know, to those holes. This guy and Joe, I can see 100% working together in that red zone.
I agree, too. Mm-hmm. And just think about the offense. Flacco under center, Forsett and Allen in the backfield, 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
You got, now this is if Pitta stays healthy, but you got Pitta and Williams. If not, you got Williams and whoever.
Right.
Whether it's our drafted tight ends or whether it's Crockett, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever starts, let's say, you got Smith, Marlon Brown, Perryman, and Waller. This could be making some pretty sweet offensive stuff here. And
yeah.
I really can't wait to see what it comes out. But you're right. Our red zone offense is anemic. It's got to stop. And hopefully with these formidable weapons, it could all come together for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, overall, from what I've been reading online, the lowest grade for the Ravens draft this year was a B. Can't really complain about that.
No.
I was one of those students who was just kind of like, I could get an A, but I'm happy with a B, you know? So, like, I'm happy with that. I'm very happy with what the Ravens did.
I've seen some A's in there, A minuses. Mm-hmm. But again, yeah. The Ravens just hit it well.
Ozzie knows what he's
doing.
They
had value all over the board, and they, again, right player, right mm-hmm. time, right price, and I really can't wait to see who stays on with the team and who makes
absolutely.
It. I think they all will, but they're great, great picks, and we find value where it's need be. And all for, and I just wanted to close this as well. For all the haters out there, it was really getting on my nerves during the draft. And especially some of the people that I know, again, they're not NFL execs. They're not in the front office.
Right.
Are the Ravens the best in the biz in the front office when it comes to drafting?
They got to be.
Yeah, I mean, when the Chargers are picking players and moving up, these guys are texting me, why aren't the Ravens making moves, huh? Why aren't they picking these guys? These guys are monsters. Do you want gaudy names and suck the rest of the year because they're drafting higher for these guys because
right.
they suck during the regular season? They don't make the playoffs. Chargers ain't making playoffs. I mean, come on. Yeah, and he's like, well, Gordon is – they drafted that guy Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And what was his name? Melvin Gordon? I don't know what his name was, but I think it was. And they moved up to get him. This is being the Chargers. And everybody was like, the Ravens ain't making moves. And I'm like – I mean, it's like in free agency. Do you want big names or do you want to win? We're consistently in the Elite Eight in the NFL every year. We're always in the division round. We are in the playoffs 6 out of 7 years. I think they've seen the Chargers in the playoff once in the last 8 years. I mean,
sure.
believe it or not. So, again, do you want consistency or do you want, oh, we drafted the number one pick overall? I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where we draft. We drafted Ed Reed late rounds in the first rounds. We drafted Jonathan Ogden 26 overall. Ray Lewis, Jonathan Ogden was 4th. Ray Lewis was 26. So, get a little ahead of myself there. I got to get my knowledge up there. My Ravens history, I should know this stuff. But again, you know, we find value wherever. And speaking of value, Tom Brady was found in round 5, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It only took a Drew Bledsoe injury to thrust him into stardom, but it happens. Everything happens for a reason. And
Where was Joe drafted? Do you remember what round?
18th.
He was 18th.
He was first overall, 18th.
Okay.
It was first round, 18th overall.
Because you remember him starting, he was third string.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that an impressive story? And not only that, but yeah, you're right. You came on the team. It was Kyle Bowler and Troy Smith. Kyle Bowler, if my memory serves correctly, I think Kyle Bowler that came down with a sickness and Troy Smith hurt? Or was
think,
it Troy
I think
Smith
Troy
sick?
Got hurt.
And
then
Bowler got sick or something.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was like tonsillitis or something crazy where he needed surgery. Mm-hmm. And Joe Flacco was starting.
And everybody called him Falco from the replacements.
Shane Falco.
Yeah, everybody called
him
Falco.
Who's this
guy? Yeah.
Who's this guy?
But, no, here we are, Flacco being number one guy, big contract.
Super Bowl MVP.
Going
to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Having some kids. Having a good time. He's a good guy.
All right, so let me ask you, wrapping this up now, since we have Max Williams here, who knows if he'll play or not, but when I ask you, did we cover everything, should you say, oh, we covered it to the max?
That could be a good one. I like it. Getting
the
rookies
max.
To the max, but not with one X, two X,
two.
X.
And this is not a triple X show at all.
No, no. I mean, he's
showing off some guns, but that's about it. You know,
and my white guns. I need to get some. I need to go to the beach. Hey, today was a gorgeous day in Baltimore. I had a great day. My
yeah.
day off, running around some errands. But yeah. Hey, this is Jim Attire. I went to the gym today. I'm relaxed.
Good for you, man.
I had a massage, went to the gym.
That sounds good.
Had a good day.
I was working at my desk job all day. I was bored.
I'll be doing that across the street tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. This is
right,
my
so,
Sunday, technically.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I think we're pretty much done. The draft, I think, was a success for the Ravens.
As it is always.
I can't wait to see what happens next.
What's going to happen next is some mini camps and some training camps in 2 months.
Absolutely.
2.5 months. Oh, it's getting close.
We're
gotta get
there.
Our beach weather out of the way. We need to go to the beach real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so if you want to tell us what you guys thought of the Ravens draft, you can always tweet to us. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, he's available on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. We got a lawn guy.
Yeah, we don't need that.
In the mobile studio, so I'm going to block that out real quick. All right, so if you guys want to talk to us on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Also go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you'll get information about this show, all the other shows that we do, including What the Puck. The Capitals are up against the Rangers. Sorry about that. I got my radio playing. There we go.
You're a mess, man. I'm playing with the toys.
Yeah. Well, I got everything connected in my car. You know, I got cameras.
This is a fun time, right?
Yeah. So the Caps Rangers, listen to What the Puck. We'll do a new show tomorrow after Game 3. So definitely check that out. I got the playoff beard going. You got a little bit.
A little bit. Something. Just now it's warm weather.
This is all itchy now.
I hate it, man. It's all itchy. I get this down to Yeah. It gets itchy about 3 days. I'm like, all right. I'm like, It's got to go.
All right, so let us know what you guys think of the draft. Facebook us, tweet us, do all that good stuff.
Whether you agree or disagree, I like to hear guys' opinions. I mean, this is your show, too. This is your show.
Absolutely. We're fans talking about the team that we enjoy, and you guys are fans as well. So let us know your opinion. If you don't like Max Williams as much as we do, let us know.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, these guys, I get excited with these picks because they fill needs. Other than seeing game film in college, we don't know what these guys are about. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there could be a pick I don't like. I like the Trey Walker, but I don't like the fact that we didn't take a lot of corners. We took two tight ends. We took about three. We took two receivers, which is great, but when we didn't draft a corner until that late and only one, that was my concern. So that's why I would give them maybe an A- towards a B. That was my personal grade because I like to see more depth in the corners, but we'll see what comes. But don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and just because we're – heartfelt purple and black fans till we die, I'm going to praise everything the team does because sometimes they make personnel situations that don't make sense.
True.
And we would have probably done a little bit differently better if we were at a head coach. So I never question the Ravens front office. They have a method to their madness. Mm-hmm. At least want to get that out there. But again, with your opinions, it's very welcome for me and Brandon. I really can't wait to see what everybody says. I know there was some hype for some of our listeners. They were asking, can't wait to hear our opinions. They couldn't really wait to listen to the show. So we definitely got the buzz out there. We really appreciate everybody that listens and supports us. Creating the buzz is what we do. We definitely want to get the excitement out there, and whether you like it or hate it, let us know.
Absolutely.
And get it out there, and we'll move forward with it. And I really can't wait to get this season started.
Yeah, and we do this show because we love the Ravens. We love talking about the Baltimore Ravens.
By the fans, for the fans.
Exactly.
That's what we say.
100%.
100%.
There's
an echo in here.
Yeah.
I gotta stop.
But we do the show for free, and you guys know that. You guys download it for free. We do it for free. That's why we're recording in my car right now. But what we need you guys to do is help spread the word, help us build our audience even more.
It's the Air Condition and Brando Cash Studios here wherever we are.
What is it?
We're mobile, so we can go wherever we are. Yeah, we can record in.
You want us to come to your party? We'll drive to your party.
Why not?
Absolutely.
Pool party? Hey, fellas, have barbecue and some beverages.
Sounds good to me. But what you guys got to do to help us out as we are trying to grow bigger and better, let people know, all right? So be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. So
in order.
All over the place, and what you guys could do, write us an iTunes review, share our Stitcher, share our TuneIn, whatever you guys, the way you listen to it, just share the link, let people know that there's a Ravens podcast out there that you enjoy, and hopefully, you'll help us get a little bit bigger and better, and we love doing the show, we're going to continue doing the show, we got lots of stuff planned for the next season, so what's the next event? In the Ravens year?
I don't really think there is one other than...
There'll probably be like a rookie mini camp or something.
Yeah, other than the mini camps, we'll always on top of Ravens news if anything breaks, if we do any major signings or anything happens. But I think right now it's pretty much smooth sailing and enjoy the summer and until we get to start thinking mini camps and then training camps.
Yeah.
And then preseason starts in August. We're sitting here in the first weeks of May. 3 months from now, we'll be gearing up for preseason week one. So we have about... 90 days or so till we get after it. So I think other than you'll see some content on the Facebook page, maybe a couple writing pieces, maybe some thoughts out there. It's going to be, again, it's the off season.
Yeah.
This was our pinnacle of our off season, the big event. It gets started. The season is underway officially in 2015, and let's see what it gets after. And we'll be breaking that as it comes. And when the season starts, we'll be in full throttle, and hopefully we'll have some road trips planned this year.
And like you and I both had our own shows talking about how the Ravens inspire us. We want to hear from you're going to hear from a couple of our friends that have been inspired by the Ravens. So we're going to have content going throughout this entire summer. So, again, Facebook and our Twitter accounts will let you know whenever a new new show comes out. You can subscribe on iTunes. Whenever you do subscribe, whenever a new show pops up, it will download automatically, so it takes any kind of worry off of you guys figuring out when a new show comes out. But I know some friends that want to tell their story on here, so we're going to invite them on, and I know you do too.
Let's do it.
So they'll definitely have some specials coming out in the next couple weeks. But I think that's pretty much it for this show. So thank you guys so much for watching us on YouTube. Thanks for listening to us. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, and thanks for all those who do participate and listen. We welcome any newcomers. We really appreciate all of it. Again, Ravens, another solid draft. They're the best in the biz. They do what we do. Really excited to see these new players perform for us. We filled holes. Again, you know, it really wasn't setting the world on fire, but we don't really need to. You know, we don't need the big names. What we do is we take care of business quietly. You know, we get the names in, we get the positions filled, and we let them play and play hard. Again, whether they're mad, whether they got a chip on the shoulder, whether they're just hardworking boys playing football from the Midwest, we really can't wait to see what it's about. And again, you know, in the coming months, you know, we're going to rebuild the community, and I really can't wait to get out to Ravens football and bring the purple and black back together and the family back together. Can't wait to get down at the bank and watch some Ravens football with everybody. And until then, it's going to be all quiet. Enjoy your summer. We'll be reporting very soon with some Ravens football. Till then, let's fly high this offseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.